In the name of the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I have an early memory from my family. I found out that my grandfather had a brother and that brother lived just blocks down the street from us. And I asked why I'd never met this great uncle. All I learned was what I interpreted as some kind of unresolved resentment, long cured hard feelings, and shame. Something had happened long before I was born, and no one had ever spoken of it, to the point where I didn't know my great uncle lived down the street. Now, I've been around church long enough at this point to know a little bit about forgiveness. So I was also old enough to ask. And I asked, well, why can't you just forgive each other and move on? And my grandpa simply said, that's just not going to happen. All of those family members are long gone now. I never met my great uncle or his wife. But I do remember feeling sad for my family about this unresolved rift. This week's gospel begins with shame so thick it can make us shudder. It was just after the resurrection, and Peter had gone back to familiar waters. So had all those disciples who were there. Back to the fishing boats, back to where it was safe, back to what they knew. And I imagine that Peter, fishing on that boat, had some moments to recall the past years that had taken him away from those waters. And then right back to them. Memories of Jesus. This Jesus who had awed Peter with the first miraculous catch of fish on the waters. Who'd said to him, "Follow me and you will fish for people." Jesus who Peter proclaimed as the Son of God before any other disciple dared to. Jesus who had healed his mother-in-law. Jesus, the one who had taken Peter up the mountain. Jesus who'd been transfigured before his very eyes. Jesus, the one whom Peter had failed so catastrophically in a single night. Not once, but three times, categorically denying that he even knew him. Peter likely believed he'd spend the rest of his life fleeing from that single searing memory. As I read the gospel this week, I myself flashed back to a handful of memories of times I had done harm and tried to flee it. Those memories are painful. I know recently I had a moment of honesty about how I disappointed someone very close to me. It was in a way that brought me a lot of shame. And my reaction at first when I had this recognition with this person was I wanted to deny it. I wanted to hide from it. I wanted to retreat to safer waters. Anything that would make me feel competent and worthy again. And that's where we find Peter this morning. The reality is running away from whatever it is, especially shame and regret, doesn't make it go away. It reminds me of Psalm 139. Where then can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. The good news today is not only can we not run from who we are and what we've done, but God meets us there every time with the grace of a new day. I'll share with you one of my biggest fears in that recent realization that I'd hurt someone I care about. My fear was that our relationship would never be the same, that it was irreparable, unforgivable, and unchangeable. I worried that I would be like my grandfather, telling my own children years down the road about this person if they asked me, "Can you forgive each other?" And me saying, "Well, that's just never going to happen." And that filled me with dread. I actually took this dread into Holy Week. What a week to dread something like that. And after listening to the story anew of the disciples who betrayed and denied Jesus, recalling Jesus' suffering because of it, as I moved through and finally passed the long Holy Saturday of gazing into what seemed like it was going to be a sealed up tomb, the day of resurrection came. And with it came the grace of a new day. The grace of a new day, it's repeated over and over again in Scripture. Abraham and Sarah believed they were long past the possibility of having children, and Isaac was born. Moses was fleeing from murdering someone, and God called him back to confront Pharaoh. Elijah was not just thinking about, but praying to God, a suicide prayer. And God challenged him back with a new way of praying and living. And then there's Paul, whom we heard about this morning, on the way to persecute the church, met by God and called to be a church planter. The gospel and the good news of God and Jesus Christ is a reminder that our story is a story of being given over and over again the grace of a new day. It was the dawning of a new day for Peter. It was there in that safe harbor where he thought he could run and hide from all that had been. Jesus showed up. Jesus met him there, built a fire, and cooked him breakfast. So Peter, confronting the most shameful and consequential decision of his life face to face, is given the grace of a new day, the grace to try again. And that he does. Just as he denied Jesus three times, he confesses to Jesus three times, "Jesus, I love you." And Jesus doesn't just reply, "Oh, no worries, Peter. It's all right." No. Instead, Jesus replies, "Feed my sheep." I remember a family member saying to me once, "There are two ways that you can go when you've messed up. You can say you're sorry, or you can show that you're sorry." Peter did scoff when Jesus replied to his apology, to this confession of love, by saying, "You know that I love you." Peter could have continued with a protest. "Let somebody else feed your lambs. It's good enough for me to say I love you." But the grace of a new day challenges us to put actions to our words. Jesus wants to live with our lives what we confess with our lips. It's like what I heard a fellow clergy person say on Easter Monday: resurrection is a practice. The grace of a new day brings with it the challenge to change. Once Jesus met Peter there on the shore, Jesus has not only brought the comfort of a shared meal, but the challenge that this journey was not yet complete. Jesus gave Peter the gift of another chance to become what Jesus had imagined was possible for him to be. As Debbie Thomas wrote in a blog in 2019, quote, "Around the fire Jesus builds, Peter's fear and denial, 'I don't know the man,' evolves into trust and worship. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." In the end, Peter realizes it's what Jesus knows that matters. Jesus knows we're more than our worst failures and betrayals. He knows we're prone to shame and self-hatred. He knows the deep places we flee to when we fail. And Jesus knows how to build the fire and prepare the meal that will beckon us back to shore. What if we made it our Easter discipline to practice resurrection? And by that, I mean, what if we offered each other the safety net to try again? To me, that's the Easter miracle, the chance to try again. We can't make people try again. And we can't make people let us try again. But we can show up and make space for others to try again. And we can, of our own volition, try again. That sounded just like something Paul would write. There was a comic in the New Yorker this week that featured the devil and his cohort at the gates of hell. They said, "Shall we proceed with fire and brimstone?" And the devil replied, "No, just holding them to their own expectations of others will do." Jesus' appearance to Peter speaks volumes about God's priorities. Jesus doesn't waste a moment on punishing the soldiers who drove the nails into his hands. He doesn't hold Pilate to account or take revenge on Rome. Jesus spends his remaining days on earth in resurrected form, assuring, restoring, and feeding his friends. The thing they never could have imagined happens. Jesus returns to earth in the face of the despairing of pain and fear and self-hatred in the aftermath of his death, and Jesus reveals resurrection power. Jesus displays power over all that threatens to keep us apart from God and one another. He does this by tending to relationship. Debbie Thomas offers apt concluding thoughts. Quote, "Peter's shame meets Jesus's grace, and Jesus's grace wins." That's the gospel story in a nutshell. As writer and research professor Brené Brown puts it, shame cannot survive being spoken, meaning shame cannot survive the living word. Shame cannot tolerate the resurrection. When shame encounters the God who is love, it burns to ash and scatters. Amen. Mm-hmm.